Welcome to Rumike Talks podcast. I'm your host, Konstantin Starodetsky. This is a space where I interview professionals from the entertainment industry and discuss popular film-related topics with my co-host
and producing partner, Rumena Dinevska. Our goal is to help and motivate aspiring filmmakers to get their films made.
Enjoy. What up, people? Today, we're going to talk about your first film. Rumena and I were conversing about it and thinking, what was it like? What should we tell people about it? And what can we teach, if anything? So today, we're going to talk about your first film. What is first film? In a nutshell, you pick up a camera and you start shooting. Don't worry about anything. Just stretch your arm and try to grab any recording device, like film recording device, turn the camera on and just go outside and start filming. That's your first film. Doesn't matter what you film. Film whatever you're attracted to. You see something, you start filming it. So that's the basic idea of your first film. Of course, if you have some basic knowledge of movie structures by just watching films, which everyone does, you can come up with a story and sort of edit in camera, which means that you shoot, cut, press a stop, which is cut, and then you move on to the next location or the next angle, shoot it, and just think of it, think of your camera as the jewelry box. So you put the precious gems and precious rings and precious jewelry in your box that you are attracted to. And you pick it from anywhere, from your home, from outside, wherever you would go, just go there and pick things that you the most enjoy and record them and film them. So this is the basic idea. The more advanced idea of your first film is to actually to have a story that you can share with others and people can relate to. So how do you do it? Well, first you find something that you're passionate about and kind of go from there. Think of the little things that inspire you, the people that inspire you, the events that inspire you, the situations that inspire you, and even genres of movies that inspire you, like comedy, drama, and so on. I can talk a lot about what the first film can be, but let's hear from Rumke and let's hear what else can be important for your first film.
Of course, when making any movie, there's always time pressure for some reason. But I think that's a great thing, honestly, because it really sets you in the mood for working, finding the locations, finding the actors, basically solving your problems that occur. So time pressure is a great thing to have, even though it can be stressful and it can really like piss you off. It is really helpful because it will set you in a working mode to focus and make that film happen. Like Konstantin said, you can grab any recording device. You can even make a movie on a camera. You know, you can write a movie with one actor, find a camera or use your phone and say, okay, we're going to shoot it this weekend. In our apartment, it's going to be basically like a one scene with one actor and make it happen. And really, that's all it takes. I mean, of course, everyone wants to think that you really need like big budgets or like a crazy set designs and stories and stuff to make a wonderful award-winning film. No, you don't need to. You just need to have a good story. And it doesn't have to be super expensive. It doesn't have to be something very epic. It can be very simple. It can be done on your phone and still turn out great if you know how to use the tools of storytelling. So what would you recommend, Konstantin? What is the biggest thing that you would recommend young filmmakers or beginners that are thinking to make that first film happen?
When you make your first film, focus on having fun. That's it. That's the only thing that you need to focus on. Focus on having fun, because this is your first film that you're going to remember for years. And it's better to remember something good about it and not how bad it was. So focus on having fun. nobody expects you to make a movie that will win an Oscar or earn hundreds of millions of dollars. Just make a movie that you would enjoy to watch and focus on having fun. Don't be a dictator. Focus on having fun. Enjoy. Find a team of people that you could work with. Usually it's going to be your friends. Find friends or find people who are interested in film, and they will become your friends through the film. You have no idea how bonding a film experience can be, a filmmaking experience can be. You find random people who are interested in making films, like genuinely interested in making films, and then you work with them for like a day together, all day. You eat together, you film together, you eat together again, and then maybe edit together. And you learn more about people, and you spend the whole day with them and become closer to them. Yeah, that's inevitable. And you will become friends. You will become friends, especially if you had fun on that set. If you weren't good, if there was a bad mood on the set, then yeah, you might not be able to become friends. But if everything was great and you were having fun, you'll become friends and probably will make movies in the future, which is the most important thing. And now we're going to give example of the films that Romain and I made. And let's start with you, Rumki. What was the first movie, let's say narrative movie, that you made?
Well, I guess the first narrative movie that I made was the actual first film exercise in film school. And it was called a mise-en-scene project, which comes from French, and it basically means setting up the scene, the stage design, how you're going to set up the actors and everything in this scene, you know, kind of in theater when you set up the whole stage. So how are you going to set everything up in the shot? And we filmed it on 16 millimeter film, which was my first experience working with film camera, which is actually even more stressful because, you know, in digital camera, you can actually see what you're filming. In film camera, you have no idea what you're filming. You're just hoping that you loaded the film well and that whoever is the cinematographer caught what you want from the film. So it was basically one shot. We just had the camera tilting up and down. So from the table, down the table and up. And there were two characters on the table, which were a mother and a daughter. And at the time, of course, I just started. We were a four people crew. I just assigned randomly what everyone is going to do, not knowing what their skill set are from before. And I didn't have actors. So I asked my mom to be my actor and my friend Halen, which was hilarious because my mom obviously is white and Halen is a Chinese girl and they were mother and daughter in the movie. So it sort of didn't make sense, but I explained it as, look, she was adopted, you know? But so it was a very fun experience for me, honestly, because I felt that excitement of, okay, I am making a movie. And like, you know, when you write the title of the movie on your slate, it just feels so amazing that you're finally directing something. So that's kind of briefly about my first film. What about your first film?
Yeah, that's a great question because now I was thinking, what is my first film? And first I thought there was one film, but then I realized I actually make a film before that. And the film before that was the film that I made pretty much just by myself. So, which is a great way to start, by the way, because you have control over everything. So the first film that I made was a film that I shot with a camera that I could reach my hand to, which was a mini DV camera that has like little cassettes that you insert. And I just start kind of figuring out what I can I do with it. And the reason that I decided to do that is because I was sick. I had like a fever and I couldn't leave home. And I was just kind of sitting at home and like, What can I do? And I didn't have a computer at that time or a phone. You know, there was no technology except maybe TV that I could use. So I was like, okay, let's do something. Let's do something fun. So I pick up the camera and start filming. And as I start filming, as I film first few shots, I realize, okay, well, let's do this. What if I play the characters in this movie that I film? All right, so one character gonna be a sad character, and then the another character gonna be like a happy character who gonna come to him and inspire him to overcome that sadness. And so this idea just came out of my mind by shooting a sink, you know, and shooting a refrigerator. I don't know how is it connected, but because I just shot those two shots in my mind, okay, let's have this story. So now I had some kind of story in my mind and I started to film other things, including me. So I dressed up in as with a sad character dress in my imagination. So I put some old clothes from my mother, like the fur stuff, some like older stuff and gray stuff and some shabby stuff. And I became a sad character. So I started playing and recording at the same time. I didn't have any tripod, for God's sake. I just put some books together on a chair and tried to figure out how to angle camera the right way. And I had that flip screen so I could turn it to my side and then see what's happening. So I filmed myself. Then I changed into another character, a very slick character. So I put a suit, I put a tie, and I combed my hair and recorded that. And then I started putting together different scenes, like different reactions, different words that the character would say. And then the culmination, the climax of the movie is a dance sequence when a sad character dances a sad dance, and then the happy character dances a happy dance, and and how the sad character realizes through dance that he actually can be happy. So that was my first shooting experience. And during that experience, I realized that, well, you can actually shoot movie yourself, and you can act in it as well. You can shoot it without a screenplay. And then I was editing it at my computer using an old Windows computer, and there was a program, a Movie Maker, Windows Movie Maker. So I was editing it forever, and it was exporting all night. Like a simple sequence was exporting the entire night. And I made a cut. I showed my family. They liked it, as they will, and your family will like probably everything that you do. So it's not finished yet, because the audience hasn't seen it yet. So I figured, okay, how can I show it to someone without embarrassing myself to death? And my friend, a few weeks later, reached out to me and said, hey, do you have any films by any chance that you could give us? We have this little festival that we started with our parents and friends. And like, yeah, I have a film. I just made the film. Yeah, I can submit it. And I sent it to them. And then another week later, I get an invitation to the festival. And the movie gets screened on the big screen, like a projector. It's not like a movie theater, but it's a theater. There is a projector, there's a big screen, and there's an audience that I don't know except for one friend that invited me to that place. And there are other filmmakers, there are other films. And so I watch other films, I watch my film, and when my film pops up, it was so embarrassing because I never showed my work to anyone, like any type of work, except like homework for school. And it's just, oh my god, I just can't. I wanted really to leave the room and spare the embarrassment. But as the movie went along, there are some reactions. The people laughing, some people were like, oh, or like, ha ha, or like something short, something long. So audience was reacting to the film. And it's the best kind of thing that you can get from screening your films, that the audience get reactions to the things that you thought that gonna exude some sort of reaction. And then the other festivals, there was like voting and stuff, blah, blah, blah. And eventually when the winners were announced that night, with this film that I shot just by myself in my room while I was sick and acted in it and wrote and edited and everything, it won the best editing award, the best actor award, and the best film award. It was hilarious, but I was so happy. I was so happy that I think that moment I realized that, okay, I want to pursue making films. And that started the journey of making films.
And how old were you when this happened?
I was somewhere around 13, I think. 13, yeah. 13 years old or something around that.
Can experience.
Yeah, that experience is insane. And I wish everyone to do that. Because once you make the film, once you shoot this film yourself with the camera that you reached with your hand, make sure that you get it to the audience. Embarrass yourself. It will pass, because it will motivate you to become better. Because even though it had some reaction, it wasn't like a super professional festival. It was like a friendly festival. But still, I saw so many things that were wrong that I was embarrassed about. Some people maybe didn't even notice that, who are not filmmakers. But I was so embarrassed them that I decided, okay, I need to do this for my next film. So is why it's important to screen your films, because it gives you an idea how to become a better filmmaker with your next film.
Yeah, I remember when, before my first film, before film school, we would always want to, when I had guests over, my girlfriends over, I always wanted to play reenactment games, like we act like it's a show or something. So we actually made a music video together, which was made on our very old phones. I don't even know what it was, you know, like a black and white phone, and with a 2-pixel camera, and we like filmed something. And now when thinking back at it, we like edited it, but we didn't know, like I didn't know anything about editing. I just kind of found a way to put it together and cut it together and learn on my own. And it's very interesting because like everyone watches movies, right? And it's sort of like, I feel like everyone has that natural instinct to make a movie or to edit a movie, to put together a movie after watching a bunch of films. So yes, anyone who feels that they want to try making a film, honestly, you can try it. Just try it with your phone. You can even make something. It doesn't even have to be with people, honestly. You can try doing some stop motion or even with some dolls or something, you know. It's really possible if you use your creativity and imagination.
Make sure to have fun.
Yes.
That's the most important thing. Have fun, enjoy. Don't worry about anything. Don't need a film school. Don't need online film school. Don't need film books. Don't need anything. Just pick up the camera and shoot and show yourself. Show who you are through what you see through the camera.
Yeah.
All right. Now let's move to the obsession of the week. Rumki, what is your obsession of the week?
Well, my obsession of the week is the show Physical, which is a show on Apple TV Plus. And this show is a wonderful show that you actually recommended to me first. So now I'm trying to catch up with season one so we can watch season two together.
I can wait to watch season two with you,
Yes, so it's briefly, it's about a housewife in the 70s, I believe, that she's really unhappy with her body. She has an eating disorder. So please, everyone, be warned that this stroke can be quite triggering because of the way she looks at herself and the way she talks to herself and her eating habits. And that was also triggering for me to watch because I get that people deal with this, and it's so important if you really deal with something like this to seek help. But basically, because of her eating disorder and just the way she's unhappy with life, she gets really into fitness and decides to start her own fitness business, sort of like the Jane Fonda fitness tapes. And I just love it. It's really fun. Yeah, so I highly recommend that show. Check it out. What about you, Konstantin? What is your obsession of the week?
My obsession of the week is finally related to films. And it is the American Cinematographer magazine. So what is American Cinematographer? So cinematographer is the person on set who basically is responsible for everything visual, and sometimes referred as God. But don't get too excited. He is responsible for the visual picture that you see in the screen. And some people can say that they make the films, but making films is a teamwork. So there is always other people. And there are three key people usually on set. It's the director, the cinematographer, and the production designer. And there's other important positions that are responsible for the visual of the movie. But the three most important visual positions during the production is the production designer, director, and cinematographer. So when you pick up the crew, this is the key position that you have to have from the beginning, so then you can design the visuals of your film as best as you can. And those three people have to constantly work together, so their visions do not fight each other, but work in symbiosis. So American Cinematographer basically is the magazine that interviews the top cinematographers in the world and shares cool tips, new tools, new equipment, new gear that they use on their films. And it's very inspiring because when you read the interviews from this magazine, you understand that those people, directors, cinematographers, production designers, they have the same problems that we have on small sets, but just on a larger scale. But they're similar, and they always have problems. And it's inevitable to always have problems because filmmaking is a problem-solving adventure.
Mm.
And you have to remember that. There is always something to deal with.
Yes.
It doesn't mean that you shouldn't have a plan. You should always have a plan. But when you come on set and you have a plan, then it's easier to, you know, go freestyle, to improvise. But if you come and you don't have a plan and you improvise, it's just going to be a very bad work.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's it. And this American Cinematographer inspires you and shows you how it's done on the top scale, how they talk, what terminology they use, what recent lights they use, or how they use the cheapest possible lights on the most expensive sets. You know, like a regular light bulb or a candlelight, which look, if you use your skills and knowledge of light and lenses and cameras, you can make it look incredibly beautiful. And not just beautiful, but important to the story, because that's what it's all about. Because if you just make beautiful shots, it's going to be a music video or something like a commercial or anything that doesn't have a storyline. Mm-hmm. But when you make narrative films, that's why it's very important to have the collaborative experience with director, production designer, and cinematographer, because you are telling a specific story, and every choice that you make, the color, the texture, the design, the cameras, the lenses, everything has to serve the story.
Yes.
And that's important.
Yeah, it's a great magazine that gives a lot of ideas. And honestly, you know, you see some film that you really love the visual style of it, and you kind of like use it as a reference for the new movie that you are making, you can actually learn from the American Cinematography how they lit it, like, you know, how they use the lighting, what color palette did they use in this film, what equipment they used. And it's a great research to kind of see kind of behind the scenes of how a film was shot. And it can give you some great ideas for your films as well, and some great visual references.
Exactly. And it gives you references in terms of what equipment to pick for your next film, in terms of the look that you're looking for. It's great. And also it has all the names of the people, cinematographers, that you learn. And then you can go and on Instagram or whatever and DM them and ask them questions, which I did a few times. And they answered, you know, like, which lens or filter you used in that film, or which camera in that film, or like, how did you make this choice for this particular scene in that particular show? It could be very interesting, engaging, and exciting. So I highly recommend to subscribe. I don't have any affiliation with it. I just love this magazine. So go try it out.
Yeah.
All right, guys. Thank you for tuning in, and see you next Friday.
Have a good one.
Thank you for listening to Rumike Talks podcast. You can find the show notes at rumike.com. I'm your host, Konstantin Staradetsky. My producing partner, Rumena Dinevska. See ya.